Dr. Alan D. Steinman, the Alan and Helen Hunting Director, Annis Water Resources Institute, on the banks of the Muskegon Lake. You sit?
Indeed, beautifully.
Yes,
situated.
That's great. Also professoring water resources and joining the morning show every other month to keep us on the happenings. And again, I always ask, tell me the mission, the function of the institute.
Well, our mission is to integrate research, education, and outreach to preserve and enhance the freshwater resources of our region and beyond. So, and we try and do that through very active participation and engagement with our community. And I really appreciate all the support that we get from our community as a function of the work that we do.
That's wonderful. Great. Well, let's talk about what has been happening. You have a new postdoc that has joined.
Yes, Dr. Igor Mergin has joined us from Ohio State University. He'll be working in Dr. Radisky's lab. Igor actually emigrated to the U.S. from Serbia back in 2001 during the conflicts there, and he recently received his PhD in public health at Ohio State. And he's going to work on a whole bunch of different issues which are very relevant to us in West Michigan and in the state as a whole in terms of environmental pollutants and how they affect human health. And that's a real need these days with the PFAS issues in the Grand Rapids area, the problems with cyanotoxins from harmful algal blooms. These are very relevant and significant issues, emerging issues. So Igor's expertise will really enhance the capabilities that we have here at the Institute. And we're thrilled to have him here and start working on these topics as soon as possible, given their relevancy.
Awesome. All right. So Ohio State University, I guess that's okay.
You know, I don't want to anger any of your listeners, but I have to tell you that when I look at the competencies of our applicants, I'm looking at, you know, what they've done, not what universities they've received their degrees from. So.
No, it's all good. There we go. Let's talk about the microplastics project, if you would.
Yeah, we touched on this briefly a couple of months ago, where obviously microplastics are a big issue right now worldwide. There's been a lot of focus on what they call the big garbage patch in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, which is about the size of Texas, just nothing but, you know, filled with both macroplastics that are visible and microplastics, which we define as being less than 5 millimeters in size, very small. And there's now been more work being done in the Great Lakes to basically see how many particles are in our water and in the sediments, and actually also in our beer and bottled water. There's some studies on that have found a small number of particles as well. But what we're doing is taking a different approach. We're taking a more experimental approach, where we're taking known quantities of three different types of microplastics, and then we're incubating them in the water and in the sediment in Muskegon Lake in two different locations at two different depths. And then we harvest them after 1 month and 3 months, and then we characterize basically the kinds of life that attach to the microplastics, because they form a nice substrate and they form a biofilm around them, which is now being referred to as a plastosphere, because Lord knows we have to have more terminology out there. And so we're doing the genomics around that. Dr. Charlene Partridge here at the Institute is doing that. And then we're also sending the samples down to the University of Illinois, and they're characterizing all of the persistent organic pollutants, or POPs. These are the toxic chemicals that adsorb to the plastics that are on them as well, because these plastics, if they are taken up by fish or other types of aquatic organisms, they might have a direct physical impact, you know, they clog the systems, but they also might have a toxic or indirect impact because these chemicals then get adsorbed into the systems of the organisms. So we're trying to characterize really what's out there, whether it's problematic over time, does it get worse over time or better over time, and also does it make a difference where in the lake you are, whether you're up in the water column or down on the bottom. And it's pretty exciting. If we do find very significant amounts of these organic chemicals, the next phase, which would occur next year, would be to start doing some feeding trials with things like zebra mussels and some fish to see whether we are seeing a toxic effect on these organisms as a consequence of these plastics being fed to them. So it's a very interesting study. It's being funded through the Research and Innovation Fund from the Alan and Helen Hunting Fund given to me at the Institute, and it also has an international collaborator in the University of Birmingham in the UK who is very interested in characterizing a very specific type of chemical on these plastics, and so we were happy to send him samples as well. The more the merrier as far as I'm concerned. You know, we're We're just trying to get out there and characterize what's going on in the lake. So hopefully within a month or two, we'll start getting some preliminary data and get a sense of whether this is a major problem in Muskegon Lake or just another issue that we need to keep our eyes on and be vigilant about, but is not anything of emerging concern.
Thank you for that. Again, Dr. Alan Steinman with us, Professor of Water Resources, directing Annis Water Resources Institute. Tell me about the Japanese delegation visits, if you would.
Oh, yeah. Last week, I think it was, we had a group of folks from the Shiga Prefecture, which is where Lake Biwa is in Japan. That's the largest freshwater lake in Japan. And they came here at the behest of Governor Snyder and MEDC, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. And as part of their tour, because they're very interested in restoring Lake Biwa, which also has a lot of problems very similar to the eutrophication problems we have here in our lakes, they wanted to come visit. So we took them out on the Jackson for a tour of Muskegon Lake, and I showed them our buoy that Dr. Bopi Bedanda oversees, that basically the Muskegon Lake Observatory that's collecting real-time data in the lake. I took them out to Lake Michigan, showed them the shoreline, showed them the restoration activities we've been doing on Muskegon Lake, and where the funding came from and how the community involvement has been a critical element in our success here in Muskegon. And so it was a great great couple of hours that we had them here, a great exchange of information. They did have a translator that they picked up down in Kalamazoo, which helped because some of their English was about as good as my Japanese, and which is pretty much non-existent. But overall, it was great. And obviously now there's open invitation for us to go over to Japan and help them out there as well. But those kinds of exchanges, those international exchanges, are just one of the gravies of my job, to have that opportunity to talk to folks from other countries, get different perspectives, and have that kind of international exchange. It's wonderful.
Last but not least, Ottawa County groundwater study. What's happening here?
Oh, this is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think we touched on this probably a half a year ago or so as well. But that was when it was still in the study stages. Over the last 4 years, MSU has been doing some modeling work about the nature of the groundwater issues in Ottawa County and actually statewide. We tend to ignore groundwater. You know, it's out of sight and it's out of mind. We're focused on the surface water, but groundwater is getting more and more attention as a function of the PFAS issue, particularly in Kent County and through other parts of the state. There's actually now 31 sites that have PFAS problems in the groundwater. A lot of people have misconceptions about groundwater. They think it's an underground river or an underground lake, and of course it's really not. It's just the water moisture in between the particles in the ground. So when we start withdrawing water, when we're pumping water out of the ground for either irrigation or for domestic use, we're basically depleting that resource, and it needs to be resupplied or recharged, as we say, often by rainwater. And what we're seeing in Ottawa County, because I should backtrack a little. In most parts of the state, we have two basic aquifers. The aquifer is the region that holds the groundwater. We have what we call the surface aquifer that's based on the old glacial tilth. When the glacials receded, it's largely sand, and it's in the surface, the upper 70, 80 feet, depending on where you are in the state. It could be much thinner, but on average about 60, 70 feet. But then there's a clay layer, what we call an aquiclude, that prevents water from moving between that top glacial aquifer and the bottom bedrock aquifer. And often our wells go well down through this clay layer, down deeper into the bedrock to draw water. And it can't recharge down in the bedrock because that clay layer prevents the rainwater from percolating down through the clay. So it stays up in that glacial till, but it doesn't recharge the bedrock. And what's happened for these deep wells is, because it's not recharging, it's drawing deeper and deeper from the bedrock aquifer to the point where we hit aquifers that are actually part of our ancient seabed that we sit on. And so the water is becoming more and more salty, and the chloride levels are going up, and the static water level, the water levels that would be in your wells, are going down as we draw more water. So in parts of the middle part of the county, like Allendale, water levels have dropped about 40 feet in the last 50 years, which is an enormous distance, and the chloride levels are getting higher and higher, and they're above now the threshold that the state has, 250 milligrams per liter, in many wells in this region. So as a consequence, that's a long background on my apologies, but as a consequence, the county is now rolling out a plan to deal with conservation in the region. And so we're starting that process right now in terms of the educational rollout and in terms of having meetings. I serve on the executive team of the county and providing some scientific advice to them as they do this. And I give Ottawa County a lot of credit for trying to be ahead of this issue rather than being reactive to it.
How do we carry on this conversation with you, please?
Well, you can always reach the Institute. You can get to us through our website, which is www.gvsu/edu. gvsu.edu/WRI, or give us a call. it's been a long day. 616-331-3749.
Dr. Steinman, you admitted you were at the Irish Music Festival last night. So
I left early, Shelley.
Okay.
I left early.
You have a pass. We'll get back down there and support this good group. Okay, Dr. Steinman, thanks. We'll speak again
a
month after next. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.